Might be other people who want to join, but I'm going to take advantage and start right now. Because again, we do have a time constraint. There's with the event happening in Kingston right now. Is that okay with everybody?
Fine.
Okay. So I'm going to call the meeting to order. Motion to approve the May 6th meeting minutes and transcripts.
I'll make that motion. Heidi.
Heidi, second. Jonathan?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay. The first thing we have is, so we have resolution 216, 217, and 218 are all for SROs. Does anyone, Jonathan?
I'll make a motion to block those three resolutions.
Okay, is there a second for that?
I'll second it, Heidi.
Okay, all in favor of block?
Eve, I only had one question.
Sure.
For the one for the Roundout Valley Central School District, was there always two resource officers there, or this is the first time? Always two?
Always two.
Okay. I'll second it to block them.
Okay. Tracy, did you want to ask something? You're on mute.
I'll wait till you block them.
Okay. So all in favor of blocking?
Aye.
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 Oppose? Abstain? All right. So before I move on that, motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second, Heidi.
Heidi, second. Okay. Discussion. Go ahead, Tracy.
Okay, I'll just be quick because I know the sheriff needs to leave. When this has come up in years past, I always raise the question about, I know that we get reimbursed for the officer's pay, but that in terms of resources that we use cars at that a lot of these officers have vehicles, police vehicles. So I just would like to ask that you take a look at that in the time of this, you know, budget crisis. But if that's something that we could do potentially.
It appears that we're not going to be purchasing any cars this year. So we are revamping how we've set a guideline on how we're going to do that, but we are working on that.
And that might be a place to look at.
Right. Thank you.
I also want to add, based on conversations in the task force, criminal justice task force, that every effort to get the SROs to be involved in the restorative justice program that's through Family Woodstock and the Department of Probation. Since every school is not involved, we're hoping that we can use the SROs to get more schools involved. So if that information could get passed on to them, that would be great.
I will pass that information.
Perfect. Okay, motion to approve resolutions 216, 17, and 18.
I'll make that.
All right, I think Dean beat you there. Jonathan second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay, perfect. Next, we have resolution 219 and 221. Does anyone make a motion to block those as well?
I'll make a motion to block.
Okay, second?
Second it, Heidi.
Okay, all in favor of blocking?
All right.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? Okay. Motion to discuss?
I'll move to discuss as block.
Second, Dean? Okay.
I'll second it, yes.
All right. All in favor of discussion? Yeah, okay, aye. Great. I had something, I'll wait if anyone else does. Does anyone have anything, any comments or concerns about this?
I only have one question. How often is the sheriff life scan upgrade it? Once a year, every 5 years? How often does it have to be upgraded? Or it all depends.
So I will get the actual answer, but I know that this system is at least 5 years old and it reaches end of life. And the state of New York, DCJS, has given us a $70,000
I see that. Yes. Yep.
And so if we don't do it and the system goes down, LiveScan is used for fingerprints, criminal histories. Every arrest that comes to the jail, everyone has to get LiveScan to produce the DCJS records. All those criminal histories go to judges when these individuals go to court. And they're also utilized for the purposes of identification if folks say they're one person or another and have no identification on them, they have to get live scan. If that system were to go down, it'll cripple law enforcement in the county. We also have local police departments that do not have live scan that use our live scans, like Shandaken and Rosendale and Olive, to name a few.
Thank you.
So I don't know if I'm just confused, but on page 34, I keep seeing these numbers and they don't quite make sense to me, and I don't know. So we have it the first where that the project originally was an amount of $175,000. Then we have that it 70 was going to be reimbursed by DCJS. Then it said that the county share will be 55. Therefore, it's 125.
That's correct.
But so, then, sorry.
I'm just to explain the numbers. We had to reduce the numbers. A lot of that was train based, and we're going to use our tech people to train us. So that's why that number was initially 175.
Right, I get that. So then it was 175. I mean, it doesn't explain that, but that's, thank you for that explanation. It right. didn't quite say where the other 50 went. But then when you go to the next page, it says 125, 70, 55, which is $250,000.
It's not 250. That's the number, 125, 75. That's the
number. So the 70 and 55 are supposed to add up to the 125? Because it looks like it's three separate things.
Yeah, no, it's not. Those two numbers should total the 125.
Okay. And then the other thing that confused me is then when you look at the capital improvement invoice, it goes back to 175. And
that's
then when
because
you look
they probably didn't correct it. We had to change that last minute. This resolution has to be approved in June because it's got to be invoiced before the end of June, and it had to go in front of the legislature.
Right. And then the only other one was that then the grant said it was a 50-50 match, whereas 140, and they're giving 70. So it's just a lot of numbers.
We are going to get 70. We had to change the numbers because obviously the budget crunch that we're under, we did away with the training, and we're going to use our in-house tech folks to install.
So the bottom line is it's 125. They're giving 70. We're paying 55.
That is correct.
Okay. I don't think that necessarily reads exactly like that. But we can, when we have a little more time, maybe before Ways and Means, we can just make sure that that's all perfect, unless anyone else has it. I mean, the point is there. It's just, I don't know if it's so clear on that. Okay. A motion, all in favor of resolutions. I got to turn the page around. 219 and 221.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? I was not raising my hand for a vote. I was just delayed. Okay, so that's all. The next one we have is resolution number 229, urging the Ulster County Sheriff to implement a policy for inmates. So I know Tracy's here. Oh, sorry, motion to discuss. Jonathan, second, Heidi. Okay, so, and Tracy's talked to Juan quite a bit, Juan to Tracy, to other people. So we'll try to keep this part of the conversation brief of just sort of anything outstanding that Tracy, you feel you want to add, or if any other person wants to bring up.
Okay, if I can start. So, I mean, I think I've spoken to most of you, and I've spoken to the sheriff about this over a period of time. I've also spoken to the executive office, not to the executive, on this subject. You know, we all know that prisons and jails are among the three cited hotspots nationwide due to density and the fact that there is not a lot of movement. I think the sheriff's done a remarkable job thus far containing the risk by isolating new prisoners. But you know, we test every new inmate for tuberculosis, and I think it just makes sense for safety. I mean, here we are in a pandemic, and we're having our meeting on Zoom, and we wear masks in public, and we're testing inmates for tuberculosis, but not for this. And I think logic prevails. Everyone agrees it's a good idea. The reason I decided to bring it forward as a memorializing is to put it in the hands of the sheriff, to say that we're urging the sheriff to test, to create a policy mandating the testing of all new inmates, and also that we're urging the sheriff to implement a policy for the testing of our employees, because obviously the safety and security of our COs is critically important as well. I understand that there may be costs associated with this policy, and I would expect that as the sheriff puts together a policy and comes back to us, he will come back to us if there are costs that can't be contained in his budget. That's just something I think that we need to do.
And so I did have a discussion with the vice chair in regards to the testing of inmates and the folks at the jail. The issue, of course, is that the cost, it's not budgeted for. PrimeCare is our vendor, and it's not in that budget for that, nor was it part of the contract. So we would have to go back and readjust the contract. I am in conversations with them to make that happen. I just want to be clear that policy is done by the convening authority, and that is the sheriff. And I am the elected sheriff for 4 years. I am not opposed to this. I think it's good. I think it's a great, and I'm going to work on this, but the policy comes from my office, and I will be the one to. I don't want it to start where the legislature is doing policy for the sheriff. It's not done anywhere else in the state, and I don't want to start precedents. With that said, though, I will say that I agree that at least the new inmates in the beginning process, we're going to try and get them COVID tested. If there was an issue here, I would absolutely jump on that. But I'm also, we're also, like Tracy had said, have to be smart enough to look at what's going to happen in the fall. And that really is pertinent here with the virus probably making a second stand. So I will continue to pursue to get that done, and I will come back to the legislature to let you know what I've done in regards to a policy, because I think it really is a good idea. My only concern is the cost. I don't think I can force our employees to do it. If I tell them to do it, then we're going to have to pay for it. I know they have their own insurance. Some do, some do not. And even though there are some locations that are free, I just don't know of any other organization that will order their employees to take a medical test without the employer paying for it. So if there's any cost, obviously, if I can get it free and I can make a deal with Walgreens, I'm going to do it. So I am gonna work those. I am gonna look into that. I am gonna contact these folks, and I'll have an answer for you hopefully at the next meeting. And I'll be in contact with the chair.
I mean, my own reading of it personally is that what the resolution is asking is that not the legislature makes the policy, but that your office in fact does make the policy. So I think that fits along with what you're saying, and I also think that as Tracy had brought up, if you find you have a budget and you don't see how you're going to support it, then it becomes our responsibility to figure that part out. And so that's where the partnership goes.
Okay. I'm on board with that, but I am going to pursue obviously the least expensive way. And I will initially ask the employees to do it, and I want them to let me know when they do it. And if they have to do it again, because there are some locations, you may have to do the COVID test now and then again in the fall. You might have to do it twice. And I am looking at that. I really do believe the intent is to make sure that everybody is safe here. And I commend the vice chair for bringing it up, because I do agree with it. My only concern is, of course, the cost, if there is any cost.
Tracy, did you want to say something more?
Yeah, I wanted to also say that I haven't written it up yet, but I think we really should be through another memorializing resolution, and then through active outreach, reaching out to our representatives at the state. I know we're at the end of the budget cycle, I believe, but, I just think there's a real disconnect. You know, we're heading into phase two, and my understanding is that hairstylists, are going to be required to take a test every 2 weeks. And here we have COs going on the front lines, going into a confined space where people can't get out, and there is no requirement or support for them being tested. We have nursing home workers who have to be tested, I believe it's twice a week. So I think the state is behind the curve on this, which is just why I wanted to get it on record. And I appreciate everything the sheriff's doing, which is why I didn't write a policy overstepping our bounds, which is why I just wrote a resolution saying that we urge there to be a policy. But Eve, I think you said it perfectly that, you know, this is a partnership. And if budget constraints come, then you'll have to come back to us. But I really believe this is something we need to be doing.
Jonathan? Oh, you're muted.
Sorry about that. I was just curious, Sheriff, and again, thank you for your time tonight. Just, you know, as, you know, the state is reopening and, you know, the phases are being updated in terms of guidelines, you actually haven't heard much about guidelines. And I don't know if you are getting guidelines from JOCS or wherever. But as, you know, we enter possibly phase two coming up, in terms of your own instituted policy at the jail, in terms of outside visitors and such, I'm just curious what your thoughts are in terms of your own policy with that.
So, and I appreciate that question. I'm going to, and we have already had discussions on how we're going to reinstitute visits. I'm also gonna look to see when hospitals and nursing homes reinstitute their visits, but there'll be safeguards in place similar to what we have now when you enter the building, temperature checks, and some sort of separation for the time being when we do have these visitations. I will add that we are getting the tablets. And I'm hoping the next time that I speak to you that these tablets will be up and running and they'll be able to, the population will be able to speak to their family like FaceTime. And so that's a good thing. We're still giving them money. It's $5 a week that we give them for phone calls. That'll continue until visitations open up. And of course, we're looking into how we can make sure that everybody that comes and visits is COVID free. We definitely don't want to start that, but I think in combination with the resolution that the vice chair has submitted, I think that's gonna be part of that entire policy with the new visitation. So that's why I'm definitely not opposed against resolution 290-229, because it does kind of coincide with what we need to do here with the upcoming fall and the second stand that's coming. That people were saying a coming of COVID-19.
Dean, is your hand up or?
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm good.
John?
Yes, this is very interesting. You know, some of you know that I just abhor memorializing resolutions, but this is different. This is like an in-house conversation with our duly constitutionally elected sheriff, that we have concerns. And if this passes, the sheriff can dovetail that with his concerns and know that there are people also supporting his efforts. There you go.
That was a jail superintendent.
It's yeah, okay. But I mean, so this is different. This is, the Honorable Tracy can call it a memorializing resolution. I call it a little different, and it's a good one. It's a real legitimate concern. I did have a question, but it's premature, and when the time comes to ask if it moves forward and the sheriff agrees, what happens if? I'm sure I don't have to ask that question, because I think the guy with the six stripes on either one of his collars will have the answers for us. So I do think this is a very good idea, especially now, and it's the right thing to do for everyone.
All right, so that's a good segue. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Yep. Yep.
So you're in favor, right, John?
Yes, ma'am. I thought guess maybe okay. I just nodded. Okay.
I said the word opposed.
So I wasn't sleeping.
Okay. Abstain? Okay. You, everybody. Terrific. One last item. So I'm not going to do a full criminal justice reform update right now, if that's okay with everybody, because of the lack of time. It is moving along really well. Well, I'll say very briefly that the main thing they're working on is to identify with the new bail reforms and discovery reforms, the reform of the reforms, to come to us, probation, DEA, sheriffs, public defenders, and tell us sort of what's working better and what's still a problem. And so hopefully at the next meeting, we'll be talking about that. Also, this segues into why Juan and others might need to go. So I just want to say very briefly that in light of the situation that's going on with the protests and the repeated awareness of issues related to troubles between law enforcement and individuals of color across our country, I have talked to the sheriff and others about really trying to understand what we're already doing to prevent this kind of stuff. And really, I'm committed to an effort to make sure that we have the system in place that doesn't allow this kind of thing to happen here. And so with that, the better place for this conversation in more detail will be that criminal justice task force, because other people can really be sitting at the table, including people from Citizens Actions and community members, as well as people in the law enforcement and legislators. So I'm letting you all know that that's going to be on our agenda and will continue to be on our agenda for a while. With that task force, we're right now working on a new time and date, or I would give you one right now. We're trying to, for Legislator Ronk, it's a little challenging for him in the middle of the day. So we're working on that. But anyone who's really interested in getting into the dirty about this and identifying again what we're doing to prevent this and what we could do in our county, in our city, and in our towns, that's going to be a conversation that we're going to do more in the task force, and I'll report it back here as well. Any comments or questions or discussion related to these issues? Yes, Sheriff.
Just because I really have to leave, my apologies. We were out late last night in the town of Lloyd because of the Poughkeepsie and the closing the bridge. But real quick on your the new business, which I'm sure we're going to get to in the future, the Sheriff's Office instituted and produced a new policy once we sent the detective lieutenant that's in charge of internal affairs and a part-time investigator who's a retired state police member. Once they got trained and they got back, we revamped the entire internal affairs policies and procedures, which I sent a copy of, to include a form that's going to be placed on the website. Because of COVID-19 and what is going on now, we haven't put that form on the website, but I did email that as well. But the policies address a lot of concerns, and the revamp policy is a good policy. And we'll get to that at some point. But I just wanted to say that was done back in March.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, there are several elements related to this, including de-escalation, how complaints are being handled. There's also some movement to get legislation on the state level. That's a lot's happening with this right now. I want the sheriff to feel free to be able to go. I'm happy to talk more about it here if people want to. I know he was supposed to be at that at 5 o'clock. So Sheriff, I think you should go.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Be safe, thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
So before we adjourn, is there anything else anybody wants to ask or bring up related to this? Yes, Jonathan.
Yeah, and thank you, Chairwoman. You likely already had this plan, but I would just ask that for this committee that this item stays on new business going forward. So as you know, we continue to listen, educate, and engage with different groups and different organizations, that we can continue, you know, to have the space in this meeting to have, you know, any relevant conversation about it.
Oh yeah, actually, and I will go one further, that I will assure you there'll be some policies or some resolutions that are going to be put forward to addressing this. Good. You know, I think there's a lot. I'm appreciative of the work the sheriff has done. There's a lot more we can do. And, you know, we have an experience from a city that felt it was highly ahead of the game, that, and it wasn't. And so I think there's a bunch of issues that it kind of feels like, what can we do as a county legislature? But there's a lot of things that we could do. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things we can't that have to be done on a state or federal or even more of a town level, but there are things we could do. So I promise you, this will not go away. All right, any other discussion related to that? Any old business? I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I'll move it.
Moved. All right. Second.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Abstained? All right, thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.